Aussie Business, your weekly security briefing with Patrick Gray. Sponsored by Verizon Business Security Solutions, powered by Cybertrust.
Hello and welcome to this short format edition of Risky Business, your weekly security briefing sponsored by Verizon Business Security Solutions. I'm Patrick Gray. I'm on holidays at the moment, so we're running short format shows with no headlines. But don't worry, everything goes back to normal next week. This week we're speaking with two men whose names you'll likely know. There's Peter Tippett, Vice President with our sponsor Verizon Business Security Solutions, formerly the Chief Technology Officer with Cybertrust, who'll be along to talk about vendor surveys. You know the ones. Antivirus company survey finds antivirus software is really good. And this week we're talking to another bloke you've heard of, Eugene Kaspersky, founder of Kaspersky Antivirus. With all this talk lately about government-engineered Trojans designed to surveil criminals and terrorism suspects, we thought we'd start off by asking Eugene whether his company would stop detecting government malware if it was asked.
The answer is very simple. We are like an iron detector in the airport. If there is an iron in a passenger luggage, we ring, and it doesn't matter who is the passenger. Is it a police officer with a gun? Or is it terrorist? So we will not accept this message from the authorities. Mm. We will detect the malicious software. And actually the explanation for these guys, for authorities, is very simple. We develop the antivirus software and we distribute this, not just antivirus, it's anti-malware software. We distribute it around the globe. And if FBI or German police or Russian police comes to us and ask us not to detect some particular Trojan, we will ask them what do they think about our customers in other countries in the rest of the world. What about French customers which will have our software which don't detect Russian Trojan or FBI Trojan or German Trojan?
Yeah.
And well, we have to detect this code and the malicious code, and it doesn't matter who developed the code, criminals, script kiddies, or authorities.
So
we will detect it. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised if we have this the federal Trojans in our databases. It's possible.
So at no time has Kaspersky Labs or Kaspersky, you know, your commercial side of your business been approached and asked to not detect certain malware?
The answer will be no.
And it hasn't happened before?
No, it didn't happen.
Well, that's quite reassuring, isn't it?
Actually, we were watching the situation. It was, 5 years back. When there were the rumors that FBI developed the Trojan, they called Magic Lantern, and there were talks that the American companies agreed not to detect it. Mm. And there were a lot of talks in the internet, and that was the impact on this company's reputation, and the impact was negative. 10 years back, or 8 years back, there were first backdoor Trojan developed. And the first Trojan of this type was back orifice.
Yeah.
And it was developed in 1998, as far as I remember. And next, there was a NetBus Trojan. Do you remember?
Oh, of course I remember. It was port 1234, 12345, and I think, what was the other one? Back Orifice was on 31337, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
But also, I'd ask you, Eugene, before you mentioned a company where it was rumored that they had not blocked malware at the behest of the government, do you remember which company that was?
Big Two, Symantec and McAfee.
Oh, Symantec, the big two, the yellow box and the other one.
Yellow and red.
Yeah. Okay, but please continue. You were just...
The story about NetBus. The first version of this Trojan, that was typical Trojan, the typical backdoor. And the second one, they released it as a commercial package. And we decided to detect it. And some antivirus companies decided not to detect it. And also there were kind of fighting between these two views on the situation. Some antivirus, some security expert said that it's necessary to detect the Trojan because it's commercial, but it's Trojan. And some antivirus and security experts said that, well, actually, it's commercial software and we have not to detect it. And we decided to detect it. Actually, there are more interesting cases. Mm. There is a legal software which looks like a typical Trojan. And we had such a case in Germany. And, actually, we got a piece of software from one of our customers. And we started to investigate this software, to analyze this software. And we found that it's very suspicious because if you run this executable file, it copies itself into Windows system directory, hides itself, opens internet connection, gets to some internet resource, and sends some information from the computer. Isn't it suspicious? It looks like a typical Trojan.
Mm.
And we detected the Trojan. But finally, we got in touch with one of the German companies, got in touch with us, and they explained that this software is commercial. And this software is used to find stolen notebooks. If a notebook is stolen, it gets to the database of stolen notebooks.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
And this software gets to this database, and it finds its ID in the database of stolen notebooks, it reports the IP address.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a...
So it's not always easy deciding which software to block and which to let through.
Exactly. Sometimes we have a false positives because the software, some legal software, looks like a typical Trojan.
Okay, well, Eugene Kaspersky, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for your questions, and, well, see you sometime.
That was Eugene Kaspersky there. We'll be right back after this.
Over 60% of information theft is now committed via lost or stolen computers. Can you measure the real cost of lost corporate data? Protect your invaluable assets with Checkpoint's PointSec Data Security. Find out more at checkpoint.com.
Welcome back to the show. Coming up next is our second interview with Verizon Business Security Solutions Vice President Peter Tippett. This week we're talking about the tendency of security companies to release dubious survey data and statistics that only ever seem to underscore the need for their products.
We spend at CyberTrust, at Verizon Business, we spend a huge amount of energy gathering statistics. And one of the things we do is gather all the statistics from all the self-serving players out there, which is one of the big problems with most of the statistics we get, is they come from people who will benefit from the statistics.
Yeah, like a new RSA survey says authentication top issue.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. We also saw, on last week's show, during the news summary, or it was 2 weeks ago now, I'm sorry, speaking to Munir Katadia from ZDNet Australia, and there was a story there that said an anti-spam company had said that spam had hit an all-time level. And it was around 40-45% of every mail message sent. Now, a few things bothered me about that. First of all, I clearly remember writing stories back in 2003 when spam messages were supposedly over 50%. This was a big deal. It just seems like this is an impossible statistic to actually determine, yet people don't seem to mind pumping out the press releases.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that we got when we merged CyberTrust with Verizon Business is Verizon Business had a network, has the biggest backbone in the world. About 70% of all traffic in the world goes through the Verizon backbone. It used to be the MCI, UUNET backbone. It includes May East and May West and the big network backbones in all the continents. One of the interesting things that's available when you own a lot of real estate on the internet is that people who send spam in particular often send it to large blocks of email address space. Many of those addresses don't exist anymore. Many of the domains that they're attached to don't exist anymore. And so you could imagine that the places where domains are no longer in existence, but an email address is, you could call that a black or a dark email address. And if you collect the email addresses that are more than 2 or 3 years old, and no one is sending any legitimate traffic to, you pretty much have a notion. You can think of it as a honeypot for email.
Mm.
And we have done this both at our ICSA labs and the Verizon Business Net Intel group have done the same thing. And when we put our data together, we came up with almost identical amounts of data. We're getting 30 or 40,000 unique malicious messages a month that are unique, whether they're spam or backdoors or Trojans or whatever. They are unique from each other. And those are big numbers, but it's easy enough to figure out what they are because they're going to places where no one ever originated a message.
Mm. But I mean, how do you tabulate that? And I mean, if you could also sit on your backbone and realize what was spam and what was a legitimate message, then surely taking care of spam would be a lot easier. I mean, we're having a hard enough time categorizing and determining, what this stuff is to begin with. So how do we think we know the extent of the problem when we can't even identify the stuff properly?
Right. Well, one thing you can do when you have big amount of real estate is you can at least get a statistical answer. We might not on an individual level be able to perfectly determine spam from not spam, but we can certainly tell you the amount of stuff that almost certainly is spam. And get ratios out of it, and have metrics on which things are almost we're 99.9% certain this particular one is, and so on. The same is true for malicious mail and messages of other kinds. For example, botnets and almost anything that does scanning to look for victims scans all address space in certain blocks. And, of course, we're aware at Verizon Business with so much backbone traffic and ownership of which IP addresses have never had a machine connected to them. Again, dark space analysis. There isn't any message that could have originated from that space, whether that's a spoofed IP address that the attacker is using that replies back to a dark space address, or whether it's a scan at a aimed at some address that there was no machine at. Either way, anything aiming to those places is almost certainly malicious or related to something malicious.
Just turning back for a second to, surveys put out there by, point solution vendors. You say that you actually compare statistics and information that you collect yourself to, surveys, I suppose, that are, commonly press released and spammed to us members of the press to try to generate ink. How accurate would you say the average point solution vendor survey is?
Well, one way to, we collect and have for about 7 years now collected every bit of, quote, data or survey or study that people have done. Many of them are quite reputable. Some of the AV vendors and other people put out something new every day or every week. And if you track it over time, it's kind of hard to mess up what it is, right? It is at least proportionally, if it's doubled, it's in their system twice as bad as it was, whenever over the month it doubled. So one of the most useful things you can get out of these studies from point solution vendors is the deltas. The absolute numbers may be wrong, but the changes usually have to be consistent. And so if you put the kinds of data together all in one place that represent the same threat scenarios, then you wind up with a broad range, and you can take the point solution nonsense and see that it's at one end of the range. But you can also see if it's moving in the right direction. So, you like anything else, even in science, there's a lot of data that is simply wrong, and it's the job of the scientist to figure out what's what.
Mm. And do you think that's by and large what's happening, or do you think we're mostly being fed a bunch of what would you say, you're American, baloney?
Don't we say baloney in the rest of the world?
No, I'm afraid not.
How about hooey?
No, again. We'd say nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense is true. Well, I think most of us can figure out what is where the nonsense factor creeps in and where it doesn't. There are plenty of good studies that come out of the vendors now, and we kind of know what feels right and what doesn't. And when you take two or three different vendors that put out something, and they seem to be in a similar space, you can get more comfort out of it. And again, if you have some independent evidence, one of the things we do a lot now, just since we've merged CyberTrust with Verizon Business, is when somebody at an AV vendor or somebody at a spam vendor, somebody at whatever, says something is happening this week, we can take that port or that message type or that protocol or whatever it is and look across huge amounts of space and see if it really has ticked up. In our traffic, as soon as you have something that you can identifiably look at, then you can see the trend in that.
So you've cut a bunch of security nerds loose on the world's biggest backbone.
That's exactly right.
Well, and they must be having fun.
They are having fun.
Okay, Peter Tippett, thank you very much for your time again.
You bet. Thank you.
And that's it for this week's edition of Risky Business here on itradio.com.au. We'll be back to a full-length show with news headlines next week. Thanks again to our sponsor, Verizon Business Security Solutions, and thank you for listening.